Ephesians chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1, and Revelation 19. Three passages as I talk to you tonight about Jesus is, or He is. And tonight we're going to be talking about He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1, and Revelation chapter 19. And would you stand with me tonight as we go to these passages of Scripture? Next Sunday night will be the final message in this series. And the title of next Sunday night is He Is Inviting Us to His Table. We're going to have Holy Communion. Next Sunday is is next Sunday Palm Sunday? Okay, so next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and so we're going to celebrate both services, the entry of our King, and we're going to conclude next Sunday night after the message. We're going to come to His table. Amen. And I do believe there's healing at His table. I believe it's the meal that heals. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. Read it out loud. And He is before all things, and by Him all things. You see those two words? And He is. Shout it. He is. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17. He is. Now unto the what? The King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And then finally, Revelation chapter 19, 11 through 16. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him is called Faithful and True. Now go down to verse 16, if you don't mind. Verse 16. Revelation 19, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and come on, say it. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, tonight, thank you that He is, that Jesus is. Anoint your servant to preach tonight. Thank you for what you're doing and going to do. And we'll give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, He is. As you're being seated, tell somebody you're glad to see him tonight in the house of the Lord. I said, are you glad to see one another in the house of the Lord? And if you're glad for the daylight savings time, say amen. The sun is still shining out there tonight, and man, I just feel like I could preach another hour. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, help us, Jesus. Amen. You see, the theme of the Bible can be summed up in two words. He is. 114 times you will find the phrase, He is. In Ephesians 2 and 14, I don't have these up, just listen. He is our peace. Deuteronomy 10 and 21, He is the rock. 2 Samuel 22 and 3, He is my shield. 1 Chronicles 16 and 30, He is good. Can you say amen to that? In Job chapter 37, verse 23, He is mighty. In Job chapter 37, verse 23, He is excellent in power. Psalms 33 and 20 said He is our help. And Psalms 47 and 2, He is the great King. And in Psalms 96 and 4, He is great. And Psalms 91 that we quote, He is my fortress and my refuge. Psalms 1 and 12 and 4, He is gracious. Psalm Isaiah 55 and 6, He is near. Zechariah 9 and 9, He is just. 1 Corinthians 10 and 23, He is faithful. Say it with me. He is faithful. Oh, 1 Timothy 2 and 7, He is precious. And I like this. In Matthew 28 and 6, we're about to celebrate it. He is risen. Amen. And then Revelation 17 and 4, He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Would you celebrate that He is? He is. Whatever you need, wherever you are, in intensive care unit, He is. Amen. Driving down the highway, He is. In the courtroom, He is. In the surgery room, He is. Oh, somebody praise Him. To the alcoholic, he is a drink that satisfies. To the diseased, he is the great physician. To the thirsty, he is the fount of living waters. To the hungry, he is the bread of life. To the rejected, he is the friend that sticks closer than any brother. To the devil, he is the conquering king that casts out Satan with the finger of God. To the dead, he is the resurrection and the life. And he is, to those who look for him, he is the soon returning king. Can you say amen? Shout it with me. He is to every ruler, principality, dominion, might, name that is named, demon, domain. He is the absolute King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're not going to vote him out. You're not going to steal the election. You're not going to flip the votes at 3 a.m. in the morning in your favor. He's not in emergency session. He's not going to resign. He's not going to retire. He is in it to win it. He was here before you were here. He'll be here after you're here. He is forever. Ever and ever the mighty. Oh, and I feel him in this place tonight. Glory to his name. So I want to give you four things tonight about he is the King of Kings. And as we close, when I get to the end of the message, I want us to say he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But before we leave tonight, I want you to say this. He is my King. Amen. Number one, he is the solo king, the solo king. Notice in our text tonight, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. It says, now unto the King immortal, invisible, the only solo. That's it. The only wise God. There's not a bunch of deities, you know, like the Greek mythology, and you had this God that got mad with that God, and man got caught up in the middle, and the clash of the titans, and all of those terrible gods. No, he doesn't have a co-regency. He doesn't have a power-sharing program. It's not 50-50 or 30-60, 90, or whatever. He is the, glory to God, the only king. He's it. He's it. These rest of these guys that claim to be king, they're dust and ashes. They're forever gone. In fact, the Apostle John seemed to be real strong about calling Jesus the only begotten. You know, John, one of the great apostles, he wrote the book of John. He wrote the three epistles of John. He wrote the mighty book of Revelation. And 1 John 1 and 14, and the Word was made flesh, and the flesh dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the what? And then in John 1 and 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The what? Only begotten, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And that great scripture that we hang our hopes upon, and we put our place a firm foundation, John 3 and 16, for God so loved the world that he gave what? His only begotten Son. Now go to John 3 and 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten. And then go over to his epistle in 1 John 4 and 9. And this was manifested. 1 John 4 and 9. I know I'm going fast. 1 John 4 and 9 says, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his what? Only begotten Son. Let me tell you, there may be three branches of governments, but there are not three gods. There is only one God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I wish you'd shout, he is the only God. He's the only one. And if he's the only God, then you are to be the only one that you serve, the only one that you praise, not some man, not some thing, not some habit. Oh, but the only God, because he's a good God. He's the only solo God. He is. Somebody say amen tonight. Luke chapter 16 verse 13 says, no man can serve two masters. For you will hate the one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and you'll despise. That's Luke chapter 16 and verse 13. You can't serve two masters. There's only one that you should serve. Can you say amen? It cannot be God and. He's got to be only in your life. He's a jealous God. Amen? He's a jealous God. You know, if you raise children, they get jealous sometimes. Come on now. Amen. And Matthew chapter 8 and verse 21. And another, Matthew 8 and 121. Another disciple said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. That has always puzzled me. You know, I've been presiding over dozens and dozens of funerals in the ministry the Lord has called me to. We've had three or four just this week. That's the way it works. You go months and not have anyone, and then seem like together they pass away. And I'm like, what is the big deal? He just wants to go bury his dead. You don't want him to sit out there and rot, do you, Jesus? I mean, hey, that is his father. I mean, you know, you taught us to honor our mother and father, and you can't honor your father if you just don't give him a proper burial. But that really wasn't the problem. Go back to verse 21. Here was the problem. Another one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer those two words right there. Me first to go and bury my father. He didn't say, Lord, let me go bury my father. He said, Lord, suffer me first. You see, that's the problem. The problem is, I don't care if it's burying your daddy. I don't care if it's having a date night with your spouse. I don't care if it's your child. Listen, even your children, nothing times no one must come between you and your only king. You got to choose between even loved ones. Even mom or the king, then it's the king. Amen. Child or the king, then it, well, my child don't want to go to church. So I'm going to stay home and I don't want to hurt their feelings. You've just chosen a child over the king. Well, aren't I supposed to love my child? Sure you are. But you're to love God more than any earthly thing, because I tell you, when you love God more, you'll love that child or that spouse or that brother or that sister even greater. Never put me first. Always put God first in your money, in your finances, in your faith, in your strength, in your obedience, in your integrity. When he is the only God, my goodness, you'll get what only God can do. Give him praise here tonight. We got too many idols in this day and time. Too many people plopped on a couch tonight watching a 70-inch TV that I probably sold them at Best Buy. If I knew it was going to be between you and God, I wouldn't ring you out to save your life. Or I'd sell you a cheapo or something I know would break. Amen. I'm kind of like that. I'm a little feisty sometimes. But the Lord's working on me. Amen. I don't want anything. He's the only king. Come on and praise your... the only king of my life. Not things, not pleasures. You see, people will ask God to help them. And, oh, God, help me. And then he'll bless their business or give them a promotion. And then all of a sudden they're so busy. Or they get so blessed, they buy houses here and houses there. And I got to go in the week. Pastor, I'm going to still support the church. I'm going to give tithe. But you might not see me a lot because I'm going to go to that house I bought. You can't put a house in front of God. We need committed Christians in local churches. You can't have half committed doctors that you would never have surgery or healing again. You can't have half committed teachers. You would never say, what if your school teachers that teach your children say to the principal, I'm going to be at the mountains and I'll get to the kids maybe some other time. No, we got to teach Sunday school. We got to teach Royal Rangers. We got a church to build. Y'all getting mighty quiet, but I'm going to keep right on preaching, because there is only one God. And if he is the only God, then his work, I must be about my father's business. Why don't you praise him tonight? And I'm checking just to make sure, but that wasn't in my notes. Number two, he is not only the solo king, he is the sovereign king. Somebody say sovereign. Now, that word sovereign means many things, but basically it means this, that God does what he wants to, and he doesn't ask if it's okay with you. Amen. I said he does what he wants to do. He doesn't check with you to see if it's all right. There's things he does that I don't particularly understand. But when I don't understand, he's still God. And he knows something that I don't know. That's why we trust him in the difficulties. We trust him when things don't go our way. He is in, not only is he sovereign, that means he's in control. He's in charge. The psalmist said in Psalm 115 and verse 3, look at Psalm 115 and 3. But our God is in the heavens, and he does whatever he pleases. Amen. I don't understand his purpose in allowing presidential. And this is what started this sermon series, was on January the 6th, when our country was going through a dark time. And the prophets had prophesied, and our hopes and prayers, we called a week of prayer, and we know what's at stake. And we're seeing it happen right now. The Equality Act, H.R. 1, these are radical things. And those who claim to be Christians, who sided the other side, are now to be shown for what they are and who they really were and who they really served. And we don't serve Donald Trump or the Republicans, but I'm telling you, we are the salt of the earth, and we are the sons of Issachar to know what Israel ought to do and know what America ought to do. You didn't have to have a lot of discernment to realize there was only one way to go when it came. And sadly, it didn't go that way. And we don't understand when I see things the way they are. But I do understand this. God still got a purpose. And God hadn't got off his throne. And I'll tell you, he can turn the evil into a blessing. Amen, somebody. And sometimes when we're defeated is really when we actually win. Amen. You'd have thought Jesus was done and over with on Friday, but that ain't the end of the story. Praise God. 2024 is coming. Amen. Hallelujah. Sunday's on. Tell somebody Sunday's coming. Amen. God's blessing is coming. God's favor is coming. He is in control. He is sovereign. He's going to turn it around. It may look like midnight, but you're about to have a breakout and a breakthrough. And the sun's coming up in the morning. It's springtime. He is sovereign. Say amen. That Baptist preacher shouting on the video got me stirred up this morning. We got to show that. Amen. I said, there's some PH preachers that need to do that. Amen. There's some. In fact, I need to do it. Amen. I shout. Praise God. Amen. But I want you to understand, he is sovereign. You see, God is not someone just to bail you out in troubled times. He's not just a doting grandfather. He's not Rip Van Winkle that's been fast asleep the last 20 years of your life. No, he's been there. He's sovereign over your body. Your body doesn't belong to you. You don't have a right to change your sexual identity. I was in a dialogue on Facebook, and I was telling them that certain political parties have always stood against slavery. And I'm just not going to call it out. But as one political party that was founded to go against slavery. And they put on Facebook, well, Bruce Jenner has changed. And now it's a she. And that political party has changed too. And I just left it. But I wanted to say, no, brother, Bruce Jenner might think he's changed, but he was made a man. God made him a male. When he stands before God, it won't be Mrs. Bruce Jenner. It'll be male Bruce Jenner. Now, he may have done all the surgery, and he may have got all the hormones, but there are some things that never, ever change. You're not sovereign over your body. You don't have a right to drink and smoke and sleep around. You belong to the Lord. He is sovereign over this body. Now, if you struggle with cigarette smoking, we'll help you get free. Just stick your tongue out and, pastor, put anointing oil on it. How many times he got to tell you? He's told that story 100 times. He needs to tell it again. Amen. And I'm like, if I had a problem smoking, buddy, right here. Amen. Whatever works, brother. Amen. But God, you listen, God is sovereign over the nations. He's sovereign over eternity. Somebody say, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's solo. He's sovereign. Ooh, and he's sufficient. Number three, he is sufficient. Hallelujah. He is sufficient. Look across the annals of history at the other kings, and you'll see inept ability of mortal kings who were not sufficient. Julius Caesar, we just celebrated or came through the Ides of March, March the 15th. And et tu, Brutus, when he was knifed down by Brutus there, and the 60 senators conspired against Julius Caesar. And Julius Caesar at that time had power. He had authority. He had dignity, but he didn't have sufficiency, brother, because they took his life in a coup. And of course, Mark Antony's speech and friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. I've come to, you've come to bury Caesar, not to praise Caesar, not to bury Caesar. You know the story, but listen, Julius Caesar was sovereign, but he was not sufficient. Can I get a witness out there? Oh, King George III on July 4th, 1776, he wrote in his journal, "Nothing significant happened today." He was the king of the world, the British Empire. The sun never set on the British Empire. In all corners of the earth, they had a British flag right here in the colonies of America. He had power and dominion. And I'll tell you, when they came against George Washington in the hills of Brooklyn, New York, and they were about to be pounced, all of a sudden a fog settled in, and those mighty British ships and soldiers couldn't find Captain General Washington nor his ragtag revolutionaries. The fog came in and gave them a chance to get out of there and fight another day. Oh, George III, he was sovereign, but he was not sufficient. I wish somebody praised the Lord tonight. Our King is sufficient. I think about the great kings of Europe during the time of the bubonic plague. Now, brother, this little thing with COVID, nothing like the bubonic plague. You had about 3 to 6 days to live, and those 3 to 6 days were not pretty. Violent, horrible death. The Black Death. And they could not figure out what happened. That's when the church really rose to prominence, because priests would risk their lives by loving on and caring for those patients. And yet the world didn't care and just threw them out to the side. And those kings, they did everything. They had power. They had might. But they did not have sufficiency. And oh, my friend, I think about the World Health Organization. I think about this pandemic we've gone through in the last year, started about a year ago. And the greatest scientific minds have grappled. What can we do with COVID-19? We've got computer technology, medical technology. We've got all kinds of smarts and intellectuals, but we are not sufficient when it comes to the diseases of mankind. Oh, my friend, they are sovereign, but not sufficient. But I want you to know, when it comes to economic problems, when it comes to the bubonic plague, God gave an answer and showed us what the problem was. God's going to give us an answer for COVID-19. I'm telling you, our help is not the World Health Organization or President Biden or Trump. Our help is in the sufficient one. He's not only sovereign, he's sufficient. Somebody say amen. 2 Kings 8:6. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. 2 Kings 8:6. I said 6, didn't I? When the king asked the woman, that woman had been robbed. She had had her stuff taken away. She was a good woman. And she told him what the need was. And that's the problem right there. We need to tell our king what the problems are. We need to, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. If you really believe he is, then your prayer life ought to be hot. Your prayer life ought to be on fire. I can't deal with those crazy folks at work, but I can talk to a God that can deal with those crazy folks at work. I can't deal with that rebellious child, but I know a God who can. And by the way, if that child's younger than 18, you can deal with it too. Amen. Well, you're not a parent. Well, I'm thinking about it and praying about it. Hallelujah. I got a semi-adopted child, so, and I'm telling you, that's a challenge right there. I found out. But I'll tell you what, a little bit of showing some authority. I see too many kids running the roost. Amen. God didn't will for the kids to run the family. God willed for the man and the woman together to say, hey, this is how we're going. And I ain't gonna tell you who I was telling because I want to embarrass her, but I was just telling someone that, hey, I don't want you saying to God, no, I'm not going to do this. You know, so if I ask you to do something in the church and you don't do it, I mean, and you can do it, then why are you not doing it? God's going to ask you to do some things that you might not want to do throughout your life. Y'all getting quiet on me, I can tell. He's going to ask you to tithe, and not every time you're going to want to tithe. Because you got a big light bill come up. You got a car engine repair. But you're going to be tested, just like I was tested several years ago. But yet, we can't say, God, now, I'm just going to do my own thing. No, I want children to know and say yes to parents. Amen. Yes, if the thing is right. Now, if there's abuse, that'd be different. But I'm just here to tell you, He is sufficient. And we need to talk to Him. He's got a plan. Can you say amen? Go back to that scripture, brother. I ain't got the juice out of that one yet. 2 Kings chapter 8 and 6. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed to her an officer, saying, what's that next word? Oh, y'all don't need anything restored, obviously. Because you didn't really say it like you really needed it. But I got some things. Well, the Lord has restored some things. I remember in January of 2017, that's 4 years ago, right around in here, I was praying, and the Lord told me just as clear. He told me three things. He told me four things. He said, number one, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. Number two, your future is here. I'm telling you right there. Number three, I will restore. And then about 4 days later, I dropped Pastor Jerry off from a meeting. We went to South Carolina, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and God said, I will bless you like that man. I said, praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you what, restoration has just about come full circle, Brother Philip. Hallelujah. Because I reminded the Lord of what I used to have and what had been taken away from me. And the king said, restore all. Can I get a witness out here tonight? He is sufficient. Hey, the government's not going to restore it. Deacons are not going to restore it. The superintendent, it can't restore it. But I know a God who's sufficient, and He will restore. I want us to stand and give the king a praise break. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, in your life, I said the king said, restore. Well, glory. All. Shout all. All that was hers, and all the fruit of the field since the day she left, even until now. Those kings were sovereign, but not sufficient. Our King is sovereign and sufficient to meet the needs. Can you say amen? And He is the solo king. He is the sovereign king. I just learned something about sweaters. You can't take them off when you get hot. Might need to rethink this. That's Pastor Jerry. He just takes the coat off. Now, amen. Praise God. He's the solo king. He's the sovereign king. He's the sufficient king. And He's the saving king. Hebrews 4 and 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You know, God's throne is a throne of law. Because He is the lawgiver. God's throne is a throne of justice, and there will be absolute justice at the end of time. But God's throne is not only a throne of law or a throne of justice. His throne is a throne of grace. And I want to tell you something. I may not ever know the President of the United States. I might not ever know an earthly king. But there's one thing I can tell you tonight. It's not that He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I am happy to report to you tonight that I can say, by grace through faith, He is my King. My King. Why? Because He saved me. He saved me. He saved me. Brother Quentin, if you'll come and just get ready to play and on the piano there. He's my King. Say that with me tonight. He's my King. He is the Savior. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And I'll let you know when to start, brother. Just get ready. I was reading about Max Licato. He said two of our three daughters were born in the south zone of Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Anybody been to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil? Anybody? It's okay. He said we were living in the north zone, but the doctor's office and the hospital was in the south zone. And so, as you can imagine, he was missionary there. That's why he was there. He said, as you can imagine, during two pregnancies and time with two small children, we took a lot of trips from the north zone to the doctor's office in the south zone. He said the two zones were separated by a mountain range. And he said we spent a lot of Fridays, which happened to be my day off, driving from the north to the south, which we never begrudged, which the south zone is this beautiful part of Brazil. He said we never begrudged those trips, but we were bewildered by them. He said, I can get lost anywhere. He said, Max Licato said, I get lost from the bedroom to the bathroom. But put me in a place like the south zone of Rio de Janeiro, which is mapped out by drunken Portuguese sailors 300 years ago, were one-way streets, and they don't make sense. And all of a sudden, two-way streets that are even more confusing. And if you ever lived in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, you would know that what that's about. I was raised in Rocky Mount, and they got all them one-way streets, and two, you just can't figure it out. And he said, there's no north, no south. It's all angles and turns. He said, I spent all my time lost until somebody gave me a heads up, a cue. Somebody gave me my bearings, and he was my salvation. He said, in this case, my salvation was actually Jesus. He said, I mean, really, Christ the Redeemer statue that stands looking out over the south zone of Rio de Janeiro, 90 feet tall with a wingspan of 63 feet. Now, if I'd had time, I would have put a picture on the overhead, but you might have seen this statue like that. And of course, almost as, probably just as tall as the Statue of Liberty. Has anybody ever seen the Statue of Liberty? Anybody been to New York Harbor to the Statue of Liberty? So they have, theirs is Christ the Redeemer, a statue. And from chin to scalp, 10 feet, over 1,300 tons of reinforced steel perched a mile and a half above sea level. So it's way up there. He said, anyone in the South Zone can find Christ the Redeemer statue, especially if you're looking and especially if you get lost. He said, and since I was often lost, I was often searching through the rooftop, searching through the telephone lines for that familiar face. Because here was the tip, and I'm about done. Find the Christ, the Redeemer statue, and once you see it, you can easily find the hospital. If I could get my bearings, I could find the doctor. Once I knew where the mountain was, then I could get my bearings back, find Christ, he said, and I could find my way. Say that with me. Find Christ, and I can find my way. And I believe there's a lot of people lost, and a lot of people not sure where they're going. And it could get confusing out there in this world. But hovering over the mountain is a Christ. And if you'll just find Christ, he'll lead you home. If you can say he's my king. Would you stand with me tonight? Oh, come on, lift your hands. He's my king tonight. I said, come on, lift your hands tonight. He is not just the king. He's my king tonight. Father, we thank you tonight that in these times of turmoil, whatever we're facing last week, whatever we're facing this week, you're my king. And if you don't know the Lord tonight, just open your heart to him, because I'm telling you, you're going to get lost. You're not going to find your way. It's too confusing out there. Keep your eyes on the king. He is the king. He's the king of kings. Brother, just sing something, whatever. Let's worship for a few moments.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul. Yes, Lord.
Come on, say that. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
That's my king. Come on, just talk to the King tonight. Tell him you need tonight. He said restore. He said restore. All. Yes, Lord.
His name is Jesus, Son of God, King of kings, and
yes, he
Lord
is.
Of Lords.
He is. He is.
Yes, Lord.
Come on.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
From the bottom.
What a day. What a great day.
Completely yes, my soul says yes.
My soul says yes.
I have a true friend, so dear to me.
He's so dear to me.
His love is so kind. It's kind and free. Jesus,
oh yes,
Son of God, King of kings, and Lord of lords. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart, above my heart, to the depths of my soul. Oh, yes, Lord. Completely yes, my soul says yes. I love you, Lord. I love you.
Yes, I do.
I love you from the bottom of your heart. From the bottom of my heart to the depths of your soul, to the depths of my soul.
Lord,
I love you.
I love you.
I really do.
I really do.
My soul says yes.
In Jesus.
All our sins and griefs to bear.
Everything
to God.
He is the King. He's the King. He's my King.
That's why I say yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, come on. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. I just want to jump up and down. Amen. Woo, I feel like I've been on the mount today. He just singing that song tonight reminded me I would like for the choir to come next Sunday afternoon about 5 o'clock and let's go over I'm Amazed for Easter Sunday, if you can do that. So I think most of the choir folks are here. We'll try to spread you out a little extra for the COVID. I'm amazed. Amen. We've got some exciting things happening. Amen. He is. And we are going to see restoration. Amen. And I also, as we close tonight, I want us to pray for Judy Williams, her son. They removed a tumor from the back of his eye, and it is cancerous. And they're going to go Wednesday and go back in. And they just need, they've been through so much, that family back here. And Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray for Sister Judy. We pray for her son, Jonathan, God. With this tumor, you said you'd restore. The King said restore. Bring healing to his body. And Lord, deal with Jonathan. Let him know that God, Lord, that you died for his sins, you died for his sickness, and cause him to know you fully, God, and to be completely sold out to you, Lord, whatever the results. And we do believe in that healing, God. And Father, we give you praise for that tonight. Restore, restore, restore. And somebody say amen tonight. Pastor, anything else? Tell three people you are blessed and highly favored tonight. God bless you.